So, venerable brothers, Dhamma friends, I welcome all of you to Thursday Dhamma discussion. Till Bhante Dhamma Jiva returns, we are conducting English Dhamma discussion on Thursdays. Once he returns, this will be shifted to the Tuesday. But till he returns, so we'll be having the English Dhamma discussion at this time. So, what we do is we take a certain topic from these days from Devaputta Sangyutta, and then we present the Pali verses, Pali text, and then the Sinhala translation, and then the English translation, and then we take that to discussion. So that is how we were conducting this session, and so far we have spent fair amount of time discussing various suttas, and now we have come to the 10th sutta. Am I correct? 10th sutta. It is called Enijanga Sutta. Enijanga Sutta. So it's in the Devata Sangyutta. Enijanga Sutta, Devata Sangyutta. And so I'll read the Pali verses, and then I invite Venerable Dhamma Alankara to read the Sinhala translation, Venerable Dhammosada to read the English translation from Bhikkhu Bodhi. So the Pali verses going like this. One deity recites, Enijanghang kisang virang, appaharang alolupang. Sihang vekacharang nagang, kamesu anapekkinang. Upasangkamma puchchama, kathang dukkha pamuchchatiti. Then Buddha answers, Panchakama guna loke, mano chattha pavedita. Etta chandang virajetva, evan dukkha pamuchchatiti.
Enijanga Sutraya, Savatnura Devi. ඒනිමුවෙකුගේ මෙන් කෙන්ඩා ඇති කෘෂ වූ ස්වල්පාහාර ඇති ලොල්බැව් නැති සිංහයකුමෙන් ඇතෙකුමෙන් එකලාව හැසිරෙන කාමයන්හි නිරපේක්ෂක වූ වීරයන් වහන්සේ වෙත එළඹ කෙසේ දුකින් මිදේ දැයි විචාරමි. භගවත්හු ලොව මනස සවැනි කොට ඇති පංචකාම ගුණයෝ ප්‍රකාශ කරන ලද මෙහි ඇල්ම දුරුකොට ලීමෙන් මෙසේ දුකින් මිදේ.
අසයි ස්වාමිනාන්සේ. This sutta is, the title of this sutta is Antelope Calves.
Antelope Calves.
Mm-hmm. Right. Having approached you, we ask a question of the slender hero with antelope calves, greedless, subsisting on little food, wandering alone like a lion or naga, without concern for sensual pleasures. How is one released from suffering? And the Buddha responds, Five cords of sensual pleasure in the world, with mind declared to be the sixth, having expunged desire here, one is thus released from suffering.
Yeah. So one thing is, listening to it, so it talks about the Buddha, isn't it? So how he looks like. Enijanggang kisang virang. So he seems to be a tall person with a thin... calves, thick calves, and appaharang alolupang, and he is not greedy in the food, and he seems to be eating less. Alolupang, appaharang means less food, not eating much. Sihang vekacharang nagang, and he is basically dwelling like a lion. Ekacharan nagang, dwelling like an elephant, a tusker, kamesu anapekkinang, who has no any desire, any kind of an expectation related to the sensual objects. Whatever sensual desires, he is completely abandoned. And any form of sensuality, he has no any expectation. Upasankamma puchchama kathan dukkha pamuchchatiti. So I arrive you, I come towards you, and I am asking, so how to overcome suffering? So in a way, this Deva has observed certain very interesting qualities of the Buddha. So how he looks like, how he is behaving, how his attitude towards the food, and how he has abandoned all the sensual pleasures, and he is living like a tusker, and he is living like a lion. Very interesting. I mean, now typically we have the different idea that Buddha is really every time with the splendor, and he is... eating what is necessary. So he sometimes has mentioned, I sometimes eat enough, I sometimes eat less. So he didn't actually want to make him kind of really exemplify, telling I am the best in eating or something like that. He sometimes mentioned that my monks are there who eat even less. They even eat just a one lump of rice. But I am not like that. So he doesn't want to really sort of exaggerate himself using the terms of the food eating. But here this Deva still has found certain very good qualities of the Buddha, how he is giving an example to the others related to the eating. Now there's a really very good Buddha guna called Ahare Mattanyuta. Ahare Mattanyuta. It's actually a Buddha's quality. It's not easy to have someone who really know what exactly the amount of food I want today, or the amount of nutrition I want today. So what is suitable for whatever the diseases I am going through today. So that is not an easy kind of a knowledge. So it is attributed to the Buddha talking about Pasalocchana guna, the 15 kinds of Buddha guna, the Buddha's interesting qualities. Among them, Ahare Mattanyuta is one interesting quality attributed to the Buddha. So it is not that everyone would have it, everyone would possess it. So Buddha basically has that. So that is being attributed to him. And this Deva basically has noticed the interesting qualities of that. And how Buddha eats less and maintain kind of a lighter life, it seems. He's not a... Nowadays, if we consider the monks, they are really, you know, fat and with diabetes and cholesterol and all that are there. Very, very fat and lot of all that diseases coming through because of some overeating and not using the body for exercises and all that. So they have that kind of diseases. But Buddha, or the opposite. So he is with a lean body, with lean calves, and eats less, and he has no desire towards the sensual objects or sensual pleasures. So giving a very interesting example to all of us, so he being the teacher. Now I can remember one instance that Buddha particularly mentioned monks, I am a person who hasn't say preach for money or preach for any kind of amisa. There are teachers that they are talking about for gain, for fame, for any kind of monetary wealth that they are going to receive. So that can be the reason for them to preach or teach or something like that. But Buddha, on the other hand, is completely deprived from that amisa, completely deprived from that gains and fames. His intention is not that. Basically, I can't exactly remember the sutta. It'll come to my mind, and so there he particularly mentioned. So you should have the kind of courage to follow me with utter dedication, because the teaching is preached from that angle. It is not taught for money. It is not taught for any kind of a fame. Not for being a popular. Or to gain any kind of other materialistic gain, but it is just taught out of compassion, out of wisdom, and so that others also may realize what I have realized. So it's a really deeper meaning is there, how he is telling like that, so touching, how he is telling like that. And so he is requesting, okay, can't remember that sutta, kamang, kaman tachocha naharucha. So likewise he mentioned, so you should strive yourself to the level that with a strong determination, I am not giving up this practice, even my say the bones, the flesh is taken away or the skin is taken away, something like that. He's giving such a courage for the followers. Okay, you should have this kind of an attitude. So how he is teaching, how he is preaching, and the intention of preaching, all that are really exemplified, and not looking for, not reaching for any kind of a materialistic gain. There may be teachers, contemporary teachers, who are with such a kind of a thing, but Buddha is not. So Buddha is completely deprived from the amisa. So that is a one interesting quality he highlights. So therefore he used that to encourage the followers. So this teaching is not taught for mere materialistic gains, mere sensual pleasures or any kind of a gain, fame or any of those amisa, worldly gain, worldly kind of a intention. So it is completely mentioned, completely preached, described, explained with some more sublime kind of, intention. So therefore the followers are asked, okay, you have to have kind of a courage, you have to have some sort of dedication, even to give up your life and practice it, something like that. So he encourages like that so strongly. In certain sutta, I can't remember how recently I meant that. I think Kitagiri Sutta. Let me see. Kitagiri Sutta. Let me find it. Because Kitagiri Sutta is one interesting instance that... that's also a very interesting story. You know that while Buddha was in the Pava, as far as I can remember, Pava. So there he further strengthened the Vikala Bhojana Sikkhapada. Because monks are used to go Pindapatha because there is no any restriction. And so the monks are going for Pindapatha even at night. So now Buddha encourages monks, okay, monks, I am just eating one meal a day. So you also should... behave like that. So as a result of that, actually I have more strength in my body. More strength in my body. I am maintaining a very light lifestyle. My body has become more lighter and no less ailments. So he encourages having one meal, and so he established this particular Sikkhapada, this precept. And most of the monks start following it. They start adhering to it and they are happy about it. And now gradually they arrive at the city called Kitagiri, in that Pavanura. And once they arrive there, so the Kitagiri was accompanied by two particular monks called Assajipunabbasuka. So they are coming from Chabbagge group, and they themselves have many followers. They have 500 followers altogether, or maybe more than that. Now the other monks who want to already has restrained to this particular Sikkhapada, so they go and invite them also, okay, you see brothers, so Buddha has established this precept, Vikala Bhojana Sikkhapada, now we are only taking one meal, and why don't you adhere to it? And they say, and then they mention, okay, because of this, we experience a kind of a lighter life, less vicious, and more body strength, and we have all the other many benefits, health benefits, so why don't you follow it? And they say, you also have all the, you know, benefits, and we are also very healthy, we can do anything at any time, and we are also pretty healthy, and we also have very strong body. We eat at any time. While eating at any time, we eat in the morning, we eat in the lunch, during the daytime, in the evening also we eat at night. We are also doing really well. So we don't want to follow the precept. So it's completed. They completely deny the accepting of precept. So the other monks start trying to convincing them, but it failed. And then they came and report to the Buddha. And then Buddha summoned them. Ask them to come, and then he asks, monks, are you telling like this? Is it true? And they accept, yes, we are telling like this. And then the Buddha mentioned, if I am telling, okay, certain things to be abandoned, even though it is a pleasurable thing, I am telling it because of a reason. Not out of the blue I am telling. Say, I am telling it because of a reason. And say, even... painful thing. If I am trying to abandon, if I am preaching you to abandon, I am telling it because of a reason. Similarly, if there are any kind of equanimous feelings that I am trying to abandon, asking you to abandon, I am telling it for a reason. Not without knowing that I am telling it, but with factually I am knowing, that's why I am telling it. So likewise, So particularly the idea is there are pleasurable feelings, there are painful feelings, there are equanimous feelings. Some of them are useful, better to follow. Some of them are not useful and try better avoid. Depending on whether the particular practice deepens the practice or deepens the wholesome qualities and weakens the unwholesome qualities. So that is the criteria that we need to decide, either this particular pleasurable feeling to be followed, either this painful feeling to be followed, or the equanimous feeling to be followed. If it is producing some kind of a wholesome effect, you better follow it, otherwise you better abandon it. And after mentioning that, he would preach about really high attainments in the Sitagiri Sutta, very excellent Sutta. And he is mentioning about the arhanship. What are the two categories of arhanship? Anybody know? Two categories. Panyayamutta, Ubuto Bhagavimutta. So, Ubuto Bhagavimutta. Panyayamutta is the liberated by wisdom. Ubuto Bhagavimutta is liberated by both sides, both ends. And then the other three, say, nobles are there. One is called the Saddhayamutta, other one is the Dittipatta. The third one is called Kayasakhi. So Dittipatta is more into the wisdom side. His faculty of wisdom is more refined or sharp, and he is following the path using the wisdom. Saddhayamutta, the faculty is the Saddha, the faith is more refined, and he is following the path with that. And then the Kayasakhi is actually his faculty of the concentration is more powerful. So more than the other two, he has the ability to entertain or enjoy the concentrations, jhanas. So they are the three nobles actually Buddha mentioned there. Actually, these three nobles cover all six kinds of attainments. Sotapanna palastha, Sakadagami margastha and palastha, Anagami margastha and palastha, and Arhatta margastha. Altogether, six people are there. Six nobles are there, covered in these three groups. Actually, Dittipatta person either can be Sotapanna palastha, or Sakadagami margastha, or Sakadagami palastha, or Anagami margastha, or Anagami palastha, or Arihat margastha. Similarly, Kayasakhi also, there are six people. So, there are this Dittipatta, Kayasakhi, Saddhayamutta. Also, there are six people. The point is, now say someone is more into Saddha. So, he is typically called Saddhanusari. Now, he attains Sotapanna. He is now considered as Saddhayamutta. There may be a person who is more into the wisdom. He is called Dhammanusari. Once he attained the Sotapanna, so he is called Dittipatta. So that is how it is typically mentioned. So Dittipatta, Saddhayamutta are the main two streams that they are going through based on the faculty. Now we have five faculties: Saddha, Virya, Sati, Samadhi, Panya. So Saddha is more in the Saddha Vimutta, Saddha Anusari noble person, and wisdom is more intense in the Dittipatta, that means the Dhamma Anusari person. Now, the additional advantage to Kayasakhi is he could be one of these, but he has additionally some strong concentration faculty, so he has the capacity to master jhana and he enjoys jhana. That is Kayasakhi. Now, assume that Dittipatta person became an arahant. He is called Panyayamutta. And then assume that Saddhayamutta person attained arahant. He also may be Panyayamutta if he doesn't have any of this, jhanas. But there may be an arahant with wisdom as well as the jhanic attainments. He might have mastered jhanic attainments. Then he is called Upato Bhagavimutta. So Buddha explained all this in this Kitagiri Sutta. Very comprehensively he explains all this in the Kitagiri Sutta. And after explaining all this, he make this very interesting kind of a strong comment. Like this, let me give you that part. යෝපිසෝ භික්කවේ සත්තා ආමිසගරු ආමිසදායාදු ආමිසේහි සංසට්ටෝ විහෙරති. ආමිසගරු, he's talking about the other teachers, religious teachers, spiritual teachers. ආමිසගරු, so they give some prominence to the worldly gains. ආමිසගරු ආමිසදායාදු, so having kind of worldly gains. ආමිසේහි සංසට්ටෝ විහෙරති. Amise sansatto vihira. So more dwelge in indulging in the worldly gains. Amise sansatto viharati. Tassappayam evarupi panopanaviya na upeti. Evancha no asa atta nang kareyama. Nacha no evamasa na nang kareyamati. So in case he is preaching, such teacher is preaching, so his kind of spiritual qualities are not that exemplified. But how about the Buddha? So he is talking about himself now. Kimpana bhikkave yan tathagato sabbaso amisehi visansatto viharati. Sabbaso amisehi visansatto viharati. So the Buddha, on the other hand, living without indulging in any of the worldly gains. He is completely deprived. He is completely far from the worldly gains. And therefore he is saying like this: saddasa bhikkave savakassa sattu sasane pariyogaya vattato ayamanu dhammo hoti. So the person with faith who is now in the sasana, this is the way that he might think. How he is thinking: sattha bhagava savako hamasmi. Buddha is the teacher, I am a student, I am a follower, savako hamasmi. Janati bhagava nahan janami iti. Buddha knows, I don't know. Very really strong, touchy statement. Basically he is saying, sattha bhagava savako hamasmi. So this is the way that the follower has to think like. He has to restrain himself like. Sattha bhagava. The Buddha is the teacher. Buddha is the spiritual teacher. And savako hamasmi. I am a mere follower. And janati bhagava nahan na janami iti. Buddha knows, I don't know. I am just following it. I am innocent. I am humble, and I am ready to accept what he is talking, what he is telling, preaching. And because he is not teaching, expecting any kind of a gain, fame, praise, wealth, or anything. He is talking, he is teaching, he is preaching out of compassion. So that is how we, because if we think that because he is teaching, asking something from me, then probably I may have a kind of a demanding place. But now he is talking, preaching out of compassion, not expecting me to do anything for him. You can look at from that angle, then we have the possibility to think, okay, he is the teacher, I am a follower, and he knows, I don't know. Now he is telling that part. Kaman tachocha naharocha atthichava sissatu upasuttatu sarire mansalohitam yantang purisa thamena purisa viriyena purisa parakkamena pattabbang natang apapunitta viriyasa santhanam bhavissati iti. So now the person, the follower, the monk, may have kind of a determination, let this skin fall out, the sinews fall out, let the bones remain, only the blood and all the necessary, only the little parts. But if I have taken kind of a determination, if I have taken a firm determination to continue this path with some manly kind of effort, natang apapunita, without arriving that, without reaching that, without realizing that, I am not going to give it up. So this is the way that he is putting it. Saddasa bhikkave savakassa sattudasane pariyogaya vattato dinnam palanam anyataram palam patikankam. So if he is continuing like this, he may gain two options. Either ditteva dhamme anya, either he become an arahant, sativa upadisese anagamitati. If something remains, he become an unreturner. You read the Kitagiri Sutta. It's a really touching kind of a sutta, very strong, how he is advising the monks on that occasion when they are denying to obey the rule, basically. And he's so powerful, and he's talking about the benefits, why he's telling, how he's preaching, and what's the intention of his teaching. There is no any asking of anything from the followers. Out of compassion he is teaching, and so what's the level that you guys have to behave? Now that is how he is convincing. I mean, if I am teaching you expecting anything in return, asking you to serve me, asking you to, you know, please me, to give me some money and all that, then no problem, you can demand. But I am not having any of this. My intention has no any of those. So in such case, you have to behave this way. This Buddha is the teacher, I am a follower. And Buddha knows I don't know. So I now have a kind of a very hearty, kind of a strong belief, faith in the Buddha. So I am trying to follow what he's telling till I achieve it. Something like that. So this is also related to this, the food. He also talking about the food. So today's topic, what we have taken in this, Chatuchakka Sutta. There also, he is talking about the food. The Deva has recognized that how Buddha is with less food and how he is having no any kind of a desire towards the food. Sihang ekacharan nagang. So he is behaving like a siha, like a lion, a tusker, and has no intent, no expectations about the pressures, sensual pressures. So now I arrive you, I approach you, please tell me how to overcome suffering. Very interesting, actually, when we connect all these different points and how the kind of a picture that we can prepare in our mind, how the Buddha approach and how he is trying to convince the followers, and using his own good qualities, and again the intention of how he is preaching. Anything to add? So I am just talking. Yeah.
Avasarai Swaminas, the same phrase I have read in Theri Gata.
Mm.
The one of the Theri was saying the same thing that Oshada was. First he read the phrase.
Mm-hmm.
So I had read it the same as this in Theri Gata.
Mm-hmm.
And it says a thick calves as a eluma. It's a thick calf.
Eluma. Hmm. Hmm.
And then the second one, it popped out in my mind in Egypt proverb.
Mm-hmm.
It says the food you consuming,
mm-hmm.
1/3 you consume, mm-hmm. and 2/3 you consume your doctor.
Consumed by the doctor.
It says that the food you eat, 1/3 you consuming.
Right, right.
2/3. 2/3 of food you consume your doctor, which means that you have to go to your doctor you know, when you, it's not good to have so much food.
Mm-hmm.
So, and the third one, the same thing we discussed, I read in Samannesana Sahita Sangibana, written by Venerable Yakkaduwe Panyarama Thero.
Mm-hmm.
And In that book, I read a story which says that one monk, when Buddha is asking just have one meal a day, and then he was like, he was not sure that he could maintain his body, so he didn't even visit Buddha for that 3 months because he couldn't do it.
He couldn't do it.
Then the other monks also were telling him, please go and meet Buddha. And then he feel his shame of himself because he couldn't do it.
Mm-hmm.
And the other one...
And later he go there, I think Udai. Later he go there, I think this is in the Latukikopama Sutta. In Latukikopama Sutta also talks about the same topic that Buddha puts this particular precept related to what you call this this food. And one monk... He's actually the Udai. He later come and say, Bhante, I mean, I was surprised because at the beginning I was not willing to adhere to it. I was wondering about it because you asked us to give up the evening. So we were only taking the night. And so when you are asking us to give up evening, there also we had a kind of friction. I myself had a friction, but later somehow I was able to adjust to it. Then again, now you have already asked, okay, monks, you should avoid the night. But I was really, upset because we were keeping the good part of food to eat at night. Very interesting. I mean, in the morning, we receive so much of good food, some delicious food. So in the morning, we have some amount of eating, and then some of it we keep to eat at night. So night time is the time that we were having a really good meal. Now you are asking to abandon it. So we was really unhappy about it. And later, he's having some interesting stories. So Bhante, later I understood there are instances when we are going village Pindapatha at night, we being caught sometimes by the thieves. Sometimes we being caught by the soldiers thinking that we are thieves. We are thieves. And sometimes there are women that they are expecting males at night. So they were thinking, they were trying to tempt us. You know that there are certain women, they are expecting some kind of a sexual pleasure. And now monks are arriving in their house. So they are trying to tempt us so that we have some sex with them. Such situations are there. And sometimes they are throwing the leftover food and leftover water, what is, washed. Now they can't see us, so they simply trash it to us. That thing also has happened. And sometimes we've fallen to where certain pit holes, because we can't see properly, so we've been fallen to it. So likewise, many, many stories were there. Now he's in this Latukikama Sutta, that particular monks explain. So what were the kind of repercussions, calamities that they went through because of they have to go for this village Pindapatha at night. And sometimes certain women, they get frightened. They seen us, that going with this kind of attire, and they go at night, and in front of the house they stand, and once this woman comes out, this fellow is there. So they appear like a ghost. So they start screaming, and then they blame. You better go and cut your stomach using this bloody knife rather than coming and frightening us. Very, very interesting stories are there in this Latukikama Sutta. So by seeing all that, Bhante, you have put this particular precepts. And so now I am really happy. Now I understand the value of it. Previously, I didn't understand. I was against it. But now I understand how valuable it is that you have avoided us to abandon the night meal or the dinner. So likewise, very interesting. And he is telling, and then Buddha accepted Buddha, praise him. And he is asking, that he is giving a very beautiful simile. Now say there is a very little bird. So that's called the Latukipama. I think that's a little bird. So, and there is a cobweb, this web, and he can't penetrate it because he's so tiny. He's so tiny. There's a cobweb. Assume that in a particular place it is being, certain bugs are there, cobweb. So they prepare such a cobweb. Now this little bird can't cut it, break it, so he get tangled in it. Now that's it. So that is one simile. And then he is telling there are really mighty tuskers. They've been bound with really huge, large chains or ropes. But if they want to go somewhere, just in one second, they just pull their leg, they cut it off, they break it off, they go away. Now he's asking from the monks, is the cobweb really a strong bondage? Then they say, no, I mean, cobweb is just a mere cobweb. I mean, one can easily use in your finger, they can remove it. But isn't it a really large, strong bondage to this little bird? Yes, Bhante, it is really a small, I mean, even though it's a penny thing for the others, it's really a large, strong kind of a bondage for this little bird. But how about the other thing? For the tusker? I mean, isn't it that really strong rope being a really strong bondage? Yes, it is a really strong bondage, but that fellow easily break it. It is like this. So when I am asking you to give up these petty things, so certain monks take that as a really difficult thing to avoid, because for them it's a really strong bondage. So when I am asking you to give up the night, so for them it's a really large strong bondage, so they can't do it, they can't break it, so they get tangled in it. But certain others, they easily give it up. So very, very interesting simile. They are also Buddha talks in this Latukikipama Sutta.
I don't understand what's the difference between that the cobweb is weak.
Yeah.
And the
But
the
for the elephant, that little bird, it's not a weak.
It's not very strong.
It's a very strong bondage for him. So as a result of that, it can't break it. So it get tangled and he can't break it. He can't break it and get free.
The elephant bondage.
Yeah.
It's strong.
Yeah.
But how it is related to this monk's thing?
Yeah. Now the thing is, now when Buddha is putting a petty kind of a precept, so still that may have kind of a provision that you are trying to cut it off. Now there you assume now the, say, nighttime meal. Now when Buddha is putting establishing that particular precept, there may be a certain person still have some enjoyment, have some desire towards the nighttime meal. So now the precept is asking it to break, to stop it, give it up, but he can't do it. For him, that desire is so strong, that enjoyment is so strong, so he can't give it up. But for the other person, another monk, so when he's asking to give it up, he easily give it up. So that's the point. So Buddha, how cleverly he is putting a kind of a simile. For certain people, these penny things are very strong bonds that they can't give it up. But for certain others, they easily adhere, they simply give it up. So related to this ahara, the food, there are many such interesting stories. Now at certain occasions Buddha mentioned, okay, if I were to establish the fifth parajika, I would have put it into the food. Because people, the monks have so attached to the food, but anyway, since they have to survive, I can't remember. So since the food is really a strong point that everybody needs it, so I am not putting it, but you guys need to, say, moderate in it. So likewise, there are instances that he is sort of encouraging the monks to be careful on food. Anything, please add.
Avasara Swaminasa, sir. Yeah. There's another one popped into my mind. There was one guy who came to visit Buddha, and he's telling that, "Oh Lord, that I was amazed when I hear that you are having a less food.
Less food.
So I was amazed. And then Buddha replied that, "Oh no, I'm not kind of a person.
Exactly.
Sometimes I eat a lot."
Yes, yes.
So he doesn't make any identity with anything.
Anything.
And if someone come up with some identity to make him up with some sort of situation, so he just break it down.
Break it down. That's what I mentioned in the beginning. So he didn't claim that he's the example related to the food. He didn't want to. And when that person is approaching him and trying to praise him, okay, Bhante, I found that you eat less and I really like it, I really appreciate it. And Buddha say, no. I mean, I sometimes eat even less, sometimes eat moderate, sometimes eat even, say, excess. But, you know, my monks are there, certain monks are there, they eat very less. They eat just one lump of rice. And so they are more than me. He's putting like that, so he doesn't want to, every time that he want to highlight himself, rather than he says, there are my followers, my monks, who just eat really less. They eat just even one meal a day. They just eat one meal per few days, and sometimes very, very little. So likewise, and there are using different similes he's mentioning, and he simply says, so with that, they are much better than me. So I am not the example in that. So he denied it, basically. Actually, the argument is that why the monks are to be followed, why monks are following the Buddha. not the reason that he is eating less. So that is not the reason. So why certain monks, the other monks, the followers have to associate the Buddha, go with him and be with him, dwell with him? So what is the exact reason? Not because he is giving an example with the food, by the way, that he denies. But he encourages why their followers have to follow him is that he is often talks about this dasakata, appichakata, santuttikata, asansaggakata, pavivekakata, viryarambakata, vimuttikata, vimuttinyanadarsanakata, silakata, saddhakata, jnanakata. So likewise, he is talking about these exemplified qualities, exemplar qualities, and that's why you guys have to follow me. Not that I am eating less. That is not the reason that one has to follow me. Very, very interesting. I mean, how he doesn't want to sometimes avoid any kind of a praise coming to him. Yeah. Kumara or someone, are you there? So we were...
Asura Swami
Niranja, how are
it's
you?
It's me. I'm good. Swami Nuhansa, there's nobody from this end, but I need to add something like... As a housewife and a mother, I'm kind of like opposite side of this what we talk today.
So that means you are overeating.
Well, not overeating, Bansi, but I would like to cook delicious food for my family and my friends. like I want them to praise about my food. Like, I mean, yeah, like, I know it's wrong, but I can't stop it. Cooking delicious, and I want them to eat a lot. So
actually, Buddha didn't ask to cook food delicious. Didn't want to stop cooking food delicious because you know housewives, they better cook food delicious. That's no harm, and you better offer that also to us. No harm. but the thing is, it is not that the monks. Monks have to have some kind of another intention, you know, that with respect to food. So monks are asked to eat with reflection, no? That there are food reflection in the what's that? Yava mukasthe kinnne patangani kahamude me patsankaya oniso pindapatham patisevaami neva davaya namadaya namandanaya na vibhusanaya yava devi massakaya satitiya yapanaya vihinso pratiya brahmacharya anugrahaya. So likewise, there's a very beautiful formal reflection when you are eating food. So you are not eating like a layman who are for fun, say, not for fun that you are eating, not for any kind of say sporty that you are eating, kind of a playful way you are not eating, right? And again, you are not eating just to say bring muscles and you become, you know, that very strong in the sense like a wrestling guy. So you are not eating like that either. And there may be women that they want to beautify their body and so that the others may attract you. You are not eating even with that intention. You are eating just because using this body to continue the path, you know, brahmacharya anugrahaya. So the purpose of eating the food to maintain the body is that you can't live without the food. It's a must to have some food. So therefore, so reflection is fairly helpful for us to abandon the greediness and come back to our terms. So why we are eating? Once we receive very beautiful, really delicious, say, matcha mans and all that, so how the immediate greediness might arise within us? So at that moment, we need to reflect. So why am I eating this? This is not my mother prepared. This is not my father prepared. This is not my sister prepared, my relative prepared. But someone completely unknown to me has offered it to me, isn't it? So how much we have to be responsible in that sense? So why are these people feeding me? So they have no any link towards me, any bondage towards me. They are not my relatives. They are not my mother. So why they are offering the best food without even giving them to their children? They are offering it to me out of respect that I am now trying to eat. So if I am eating with lot of, you know, pleasurable, these kinds of mean kind of intention, so then I become more and more, how to say that, inner pariboga. So then I become owe to them. Then I am in debt to them. So there the reflection help us to come to the terms, okay, I'm not eating to for the fun, for playful activity, or to beautify the body, or to really strengthen the body for such kind of a wrestling kind of a thing. But I am just eating this because this body needs it. It depends on it. And then using not overeating and not less eating and moderately eating so that the practice could be easily followed. So that is the exact reason. So likewise, there are very, you know, with respect to food, so Buddha is giving a fairly strong direction for us monks to adhere to follow. And now if we come to the, say, this the verse that Buddha giving as the answer, panchakama gunya loki mano chatta pavedita. Now mano chatta, so the sixth faculty is the mana, so that there are six faculties: eye, ear, nose, tongue, body and the mind. Six faculties, and one should know these six faculties. Etta chandang virajitta, and you need to give up the desire towards it. So basically, when we are talking about the six faculties, the corresponding outside faculties also have to be considered. Eye with the form, ear with the sounds, nose with the odor, tongue with the taste, body with the tangibles, and the mind with the mind objects. So this is how we are interacting with the outside. So all the desires with respect to this internal and external, ayatana, the basis, have to be given up. Chandragam virajitta, evan chandam virajitta, evan dukkha pamuchyati. And then only you will be free from suffering. Now the typical approach is that we need to gain all these, we need to acquire all these, possess all these, then only we are happy. Isn't it? So that is the typical way that people are thinking. So the more I can look at very interesting, really beautiful sights, films, etc., then only I will be happy. The more I can listen to beautiful music, then only I can be happy. More I can be with sense and all that, whatever the ornaments, then only I'll be happy. When I'm able to eat more and more delicious food, then only I can be happy. The more I can have my loved ones together and kiss them and, you know, all that, then only I'll be happy. Similarly, the more I think what I want, then only I'll be happy. Now, Buddha is talking the complete opposite now. Now, he is talking complete opposite. Isn't it? I mean, typical worldly way of thinking is that I need to acquire all this. I need to make them mine. Then only more I have, more I will be happy. That's the typical approach. But the opposite is mentioned by Buddha. So, you need to give up all the desires towards this. Then you will be free from suffering. So how are you going to explain it? How are you going to convince it? You see, I mean, it's going completely against way. It is not that you are trying to not to eat, not to listen and, you know, close yourself, shut down yourself. But even, I mean, if you are able to come to a level, even though you see your mind is not get tangled in it, your mind is not being attracted to it, your mind is not craving to it, isn't it? Even though you listen, if your mind is not tangled in it, then you are having a different kind of escape, no? It's not that you are trying to cut off from everything. You go to utter seclusion and you don't come to me and I don't disturb me. I am on seclusion. So that is one approach sometimes people take, right? They abandon the city, they go to a very, very far forest and they simply be there, don't come to me and I just want to be escaped. But here the Buddha's approach is not merely that. You may need that for a while just to develop the faculties, but his approach is more advanced. While you are in the city, are you able to live a life where you are not being tangled in any of this? You are not being driven by any of this, isn't it? So, amidst all these different sensual impingements, have you the capacity to stay quiet, stay untangled, stay completely released? So that's pretty challenging. That is the approach that he is taking. Not that you are supposed to cut off yourself. Rather, while being in the society, are you still not being tangled in any of these, but you are in a very higher level in that sense. So without attached to any of these this panchakama. So it is not a mere depriving of any of these. Rather, you are supposed to find out a more advanced solution. Even amidst all these sensual impingements, are you able to be free? That's the point, isn't it? Okay. Now you have to tell something simply also there. Yeah, please, Niranja, go ahead.
Swami Nuhansa, Saddhati Swami Nuhansa is here. Mm. And there's another hand also.
Okay, okay.
Dear Bhante, thank you very much for giving the opportunity.
Yeah.
And this was very interesting because, you know, we are beginners in this life. So always we have to be with the people and sometimes we have to satisfy them also because they expect us to accept everything they offer to us. So even now really we have a little bit of a pindapatha here. Mm-hmm. Even when we go on pindapatha, really this was organized one. But the people are there with various sort of things to be offered. Mm. But when we don't like to take something, their faces are not good. So they expect that whatever they offer, we have to take it.
Exactly.
So that is the nature. But whatever it is, now according to examples...
But in order to satisfy them, if you are eating everything, then you'll suffer.
No. There was a talk like, no, if we eat two-thirds, then we have to go to the doctor also, no?
Yes.
The advice is there. Advice is there. In the meantime, you know, the Lord Buddha always advises us to, as you said, that we have not to be tangled with what is around us.
Mm-hmm.
So that is the most important thing. That is why I said that this was an interesting as the beginners of this life. But always, you know, now even the monkship or the temple is not everywhere same.
Mm-hmm.
So there are different cultures they have developed. So according to that, we have to live also. But even with all these difficulties, always as a person who learned the Dhamma from Nisharana, I have the respect for it. And now Lokaswami Nansi and you have tamed us very nicely. So we are also, although we are not in the same culture and situation now, we are also following. So this type of discussions are very encouraging us.
Good, good.
So really, I have to thank for that.
Good, good. Appreciate your participation. Good.
Yes, but anyway, as I told you the other day, there are a lot of obstacles which prevented me from participating. But yesterday, I decided. But now I've activated that. Now, thereafter, I, however, whatever the things that we have, I try to participate in this discussion.
Okay, okay. Good.
Three days.
Yeah. Good.
Thank you very much.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Yes. Teruvan Sannai.
There's another two, Bhante.
Right.
Rajika, you can talk.
Teruvan Sannai.
Yeah. Teruvan Sannai.
Thank you for the opportunity, Bhante. I actually don't know what the discussion was. I joined halfway during the discussion, but I thought it was really interesting discussion, and I have some kind of feedback to add. So I thought I'll, anyway, even though I don't know the topic, I'll still participate in the discussion. Actually, Bhante, when I first started, like around 15 years ago, when I first started to go to the residential retreat, the biggest concern was how I'm going to survive without having dinner.
Mm.
You know, as lay people, that's like kind of the big thing for us initially. You're not having dinner, like everyone kind of, you know, gets scared. You're going to survive without dinner, kind of like that mindset. So somehow at that time I was doing some other practice, different kind of vipassana practice. So I remember I well prepared for that even dinner. If I get hungry, what can I eat? Kind of, you know, not cheating, but still kind of, you know, some sort of food I packed. And then the first one somehow I survived, and then second, third, and then gradually I kind of get used to the process. And then Then I can't remember. I think 2018, I went to the first retreat of Venerable Loka Swami Mahansa, and then I asked a silly question during that the Q&A session, if I'm allowed to eat pool dosa during the Kala Bhojana time. And then Loka Swami Mahansa gave the interesting answer. But the organizers asked me to come, why, and they just kind of scolded me. Why did you ask such silly question? And you know that the monks in Thailand, that very little young monks, like young children, they're not even having hot water. How dare you ask such a question? I mean, not a bad way, but they kind of try to give me advice, and it kind of actually gave me the inspiration. And if that kind of young children can survive without having food at dinner time, and why am I so worried about dinner? So I try to kind of get that inspiration, and in the meantime I was looking for some kind of health conscious as well, like, and then I found out that intermittent fasting, and people kind of encouraged me to skip the breakfast and have the lunch and dinner. But then I thought, the Buddha is a wise person. So I kind of flip it the other way. I started to eat breakfast and lunch, but skip the dinner. Mm-hmm. And I kind of practiced during the lay life a few years. And actually, then I realized, actually, it's not a big deal skipping the dinner. I can survive. And I find I'm more energetic and kind of more light my body as well.
Exactly.
And then when I did more research, it's interesting quote I found, like, one quarter of your the plate is for you to survive, the other three quarters for the doctors to find diseases, kind of like, you know, it kind of make us sick, the other three quarters. And it seems like the food make us, like, most of the, you know, diabetic and all the diseases and comes problems comes like we kind of find those problems with food. So and then I kind of keep practicing. We are skipping dinner. Sometimes I have little bit nibbles, but I don't take as the meal as dinner. And then my recent retreat, Bhante, like last few weeks ago, and then I thought maybe I just do the experiment to survive within one meal. So, you know, in here there's no dana for the breakfast, so we have to prepare our own breakfast, like we have to take it from home, and the lunch danas the people will come and offer us. So I still took all the breakfast kind of thing. Even the very first retreat we went to the Brisbane, like, we have to provide our own breakfast dana. I was so worried, can I survive all 7 days with one, just either oats or muesli kind of thing. And then halfway we got offered the bread and stuff. But this time I had muesli, I had all those sort of things, but I thought I'll try skipping the breakfast. And actually, even though I had all the packages, I didn't even open this 7 days. I just, 10 o'clock, I had some kind of fruit. And then the 11:30, I have the lunch dana. And then I didn't have any kind of the solid food during the day after lunch dana. So it's not that hard as I thought initially 15 years ago, Bhante. So I thought it was an interesting discussion, and I think we all have to practice it by ourselves. Unless we practice, like, if we experience that, then we know we can do it. So I thought to share that my experience with you all, Bhante, for this discussion. Thank you very much for the opportunity.
Yeah. Quite true. I mean, everybody who typically used to get many meals, so whenever they are introduced to less meals, they feel that they can't do it. But once they start doing it, they understand, okay, it is possible. They can do it, and it is more meaningful, and many benefits are there. So likewise, skipping the dinner is not a big deal, and there are many even doctors advise to do that. So anyway, thank you for participation. Are there any other comments?
No, Bhante, thank you very much.
Yeah. Niranja, any others?
Sorry, Yes, Swami Nuhansi, that is the Swami Nuhansi again, still there. I'll just unmute and see.
Yeah. I think he didn't put down hand, maybe.
Put down, maybe. Yes, maybe. Swaminathan, sir, there's another person. Vimal is there, Swaminathan, sir.
Right.
Yeah, thank you, Ranja. Avasarai, Swaminathan, sir. Yeah, it is a nice discussion, actually. The food. As I heard, the one thing, if we can clarify the whole thing, I mean, the what we call ekanama king. So, sabbe satta aharattitika. The all beings are depending on the food. Like, then food is subdivided into four groups. Like, kabalinkara ahara, spasa ahara, and manosanchetana and vinyana ahara. Throughout our process, actually, to give up all the foods, ending up with the vinyana ahara, patitita vinyana, like the gross to subtle. That is what the theoretical aspect. In terms of my practical experience, actually these days coconut are very high. So I told my wife, don't buy coconut. So you depend on other foods. So why you are going with the high? So sometimes the onion is going up price. So don't buy onion. So we satisfy with the something else. I mean, the replace with something else.
So you put a precept to their this wife, no?
You have
put a precept to wife.
another aspect, I tried to survive with one meal, my timing, I mean sleeping timing, my adjust. So I slept 5 o'clock morning, wake up for the lunch. So, you know, I practiced then one meal per day only. It is, my timing is adjusted in that way, in the lay life. So that is why my practical experience and the theoretical aspects as well, if you could add, your thoughts, it is much appreciated, much merit for the opportunity.
Yeah, actually, there are many people who are advocating fasting and this stuff, and what are the benefits of that. Anyway, so they are not merely advising, okay, just give it up. Rather, they give a kind of a systematic approach. So it is not that you are immediately trying to cut off everything. Rather, they ask us to gradually start reducing it, and then slowly, ultimately, once you are confident, you give it up. So likewise, it's better we take a kind of a systematic approach, kind of a gradual approach, rather than immediately taking it off. So that also needs to be considered. And again, if one is not eating enough, not giving the enough nutrition, that also has the repercussion. So one thing is the gastritis, and many monks also have the same disease, and Buddha himself has found it. Now, you know that after Buddha asked the monk to abandon the night time and all that vikala bhojana, so many monks start suffering with gastritis. And then only the complaint came to him, but then now many monks are suffering from these kinds of issues, so what are we going to do? Then he, instead of asking them to eat at night, so he introduced some alternatives. one thing is this Sattahakalika Besajja, the 7-day medicine. So, Sappi Navanitang Thelang Madhupanitang. Sappi is the ghee, Navanita, in today's terms, it's the butter. Telang, the gingerly oil and the other medicinal oil. Telang madhu, that means bee honey. Panita means, you know, sugar and all that sugary items. So they are allowed. And again, the chatumadura, probably you have heard, using on in few of these, they prepare the chatumadura. And it can make you fairly nutritious, and it's allowed to keep it with you for 7 days. So likewise, certain provisions are given. And again, the fruit juices are allowed, using the small fruits that you can get the fruit juice, that's also allowed. So likewise, Buddha has given the alternatives. It is not that Buddha simply want to be a really regimental and cut off the whole thing and so strict about it. After hearing the situation, after seeing the repercussions, he made certain site adjustments and he has provided certain provision. Okay, you monks are now allowed to eat these things and they are not typically considered as the food. Instead, you can keep it for 7 days and you take it and you are able to overcome the diseases. So likewise, he amended the rule. That's also there. So therefore, we can see that he see the situation, and if there are instances that those things to be amended, he is ready. He is flexible enough to amend it. Okay, if there are
There's another person, Swami Mansur.
Okay,
Ravindu, you can unmute.
Irwan Sarunai, Bante Chandratana.
Yeah, yeah.
And also Peva Sarunai. Thank you for Mahindra for giving me this opportunity. And Bante Chandratana, I have stayed there for about almost 12 days. As you can remember me, I'm the one who got this long hair.
The tall one with the ponytail, right?
Yeah. Of course. Yeah, of course. And yes, I'm so happy to meet you on this platform, and I'm so obliged. And I just need to share my experience because I have stayed there for about a year, and as I probably...
We can't hear you, Ravindu. Some disturbances are there. I think your signal strength is less.
Swami Nuansa, he got disconnected and joining again. We'll see, Swami Nuansa.
Okay. Now, the Niranja, this link issue is sorted out, no?
Link issue is sorted out, Swami Nuansa. Okay. Now I think it's working properly.
Okay. Fine.
Thank you, Swami Nuansa.
Yeah. Okay, there's a question coming from our side. One moment.
Yes.
Same story.
Actually, it's the same story.
good. If we don't have the same story, it's not good enough. So we'll include that also to the, you know, the
it's schedule. There was one lady, his husband has left him. Huh. So she's so sad and she's so upset. And she was crying sometime. And then she wanted to go to the temple and meet this monk.
Uh-huh.
It's a Zen monk.
Uh-huh.
So... yeah, she sat down in front of the master and they were talking about the issue and all. And then master kept some biscuits on the table. And Zen master asked her to take some biscuits.
Biscuits.
And she took one, and then master asked, okay, what do you think?
Huh.
And she took another one and another one.
Huh.
And then master asked him, okay, what do you think? She's like, oh, this is the carving and this is the desire.
Craving.
And this is the desire. That's what we all eat in samsara and all that. She's talking about these deep things and, you know, data on the book.
But anyway, keep on eating.
Yeah. And then Zen Master says, no, that's not the thing.
Huh.
You eat too much. Look at you. You're fat. That's why your husband left you.
That's why your husband left you. So you eat less, then he'll come back to you. correct. Because sometimes the opposite is also there. Sometimes women are so they purposely want to make them lean. They start fasting and ultimately they end up with certain other issues. Kind of a trend. Exactly. Issue. People suffer with that kind of a mania. So they in order to maintain the body, they eat really less, and they even measure the number of calories and all that. They do some sophisticated calculations, and they are trying to be more precise what amount that they want to eat. That might not be a bad thing. But purposely trying to beautify themselves by eating less and minimizing the fat, all that might have certain adverse effects in case they go to the extreme. Yeah. Mental disease. Yeah. Correct. Food related kind of disorders are there. Exactly. Yeah. මොකද මෙයා නම කිව්වේ අවින්දු ඈ රවින්දු රවින්දු ආයු දෙයා ඕ ෂැන් වී වයින්ඩ් අප් ද සෙෂන්
he's not here swamin okay. wahanse but yeah. saddasisa swamin wahanse again raise hand
okay.
swamin wahanse
we'll give 1 minute yeah. otherwise we over it
no this is I heard that my name was mentioned somewhere because of that only
okay
is it,
don't get angry
no that is I think that is something like a privilege because I have the something I just heard that Radhika was telling something Saddhati Sadhavinasi, that's all. So
okay.
So I did not know what was it. Anyway, I am thanking again you all for giving us this golden opportunity.
Okay. So since we almost finished our time, so I invite Venerable Dhammo Sadha to do the formal sharing of merits.
Vasai Swami Nansi, such a great fortune it is for us to gather here and listen to this Dhamma that is rousing, that encourages us to be mindful and to be moderate in eating. This Dhamma that eventually leads to dispassion and to the cessation of all preparations. A much merit to teach such Dhamma and also much merit to listen to it. And so we'd like to extend these merits to our parents, to all the devas. May all our relatives rejoice in our merit making. May all the devas rejoice in our merit making. May all celestial beings protect the Dhamma exposition and the Buddha Sasana for a long time. And may the seeds of Dhamma that we continuously receive keep growing, producing path, fruition, and Nibbana. I invite you all to join in the recitation of the traditional Pali verses for the sharing of merits.